perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Roy Carter.
A fake kick is being made of time. He gets inside, well inside. In any weather you can see a spooky grin. Listening head and skin, you're not really behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And have you noticed that we are suddenly one of three Richmond-related podcasts?
Yeah, it wasn't a crackerjack week, to be honest. Obviously a very depressing game. And then what I'm sure is a very capable podcast, a third very capable podcast was launched. And good luck to them, their fellow Richmond supporters. So nothing but love from us, but it does feel a bit crowded, and I think I should point out here for all our shoddy sound quality and occasionally pet indulgences in WWE references that almost no one gets except for us. We were the first.
Mm, we were the first. More than 200,000 downloads over the years.
Yeah. I think Richo gets more likes on some of his tweets than our lifetime downloads, but you know, we didn't kick 800 goals for Richmond, so you know, I figure we're we have some natural disadvantages. No, that,
yeah, I have always been comfortable with our place in the universe.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, we're not being paid, so they can't fire us.
No, and actually, when I think about the years of doing the show, it's some of the random moments that have come of it, including you know, meeting some of the listeners, chatting to players and current and former officials, and that tally has increased by one this week, much to my satisfaction.
Because Ivan Soldo's just been picked and he wants fixed your phone, or is there something else?
No, they, yeah, that's the story. I mean, not so much the fixing the phone, but you know, that was the first time I'd met him. He'd agreed to sign with Richmond, but hadn't started at the club yet. And yeah, seemed like a nice bloke, and has worked really hard over the years to get himself in a position to. You know, he played his first ever game of football within the last 3 years. So it's to have come this far, where he's been picked for a senior AFL game, that's a pretty big achievement.
Yeah, I like something Tigers Vold said on Twitter. He just made the comment that because he watches every VFL game, that Ivan's looked better in every single VFL game he's seen. Mm. And you know, that's all you can ask for a young player. And yes, he's coming off a low base, and yes, he may suck in his first game. That is definitely in the realms of possibility. But it's just nice to have a young rec prospect coming through, because, you know, let's face it, it's been a while.
Mm, definitely so. And you know, he didn't cost us anything to recruit, and you know, it was a slow first couple of years. The initial reports on him at training were almost embarrassingly bad, so that he's got to this stage where, you know, he looked quite capable in a senior practice game against Collingwood, kicked a goal, you know, has some solid without being outstanding form at VFL level. It's exciting to see, and he's facing up against the former ACT basketballer is facing up against what I think is the fourth highest player in the AFL this weekend.
Hmm. Tallest.
No, fourth highest paid.
Oh, fourth highest paid. Oh, of course, yes, yes, indeed. Very highly drafted.
Yeah, former number one pick in the draft, million-dollar man Tom Boyd.
Hmm. So anyway, it'll be. It certainly has put an interesting complexion on this game in a week that we're probably all a bit down. Also, you know, Nick, there was one beautiful quarter where we were premiership favourites, and if only the world had ended at that point.
To think about the 23-minute mark of the first quarter, the world was a beautiful place. I mean, I was nervous and anxious about how affluent Adelaide were in their blue ball movement even then, and a little bit in awe that their fourth biggest forward was 193 centimetres tall. I didn't foretell the pain that was to come for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, and I'll sort of get this out of the way quickly. Oh, but before I rant about how we structured the team, we should also point out that Adelaide is actually very good at football and did this to the GWS, the team which I believe will win the premiership this year.
Yeah. So Adelaide for me, like I watched the Crows, no, sorry, not the Bulldogs Giants game on Friday night, and yeah, Adelaide are a level above both those teams right now, and I didn't expect to say that.
And they did actually shoot very well for goal, which they do regularly, so it's not a fluke. But just to point that out.
In the they're a high school team. They're playing very confidently. We had two guys get injuries during the game. Conkers, it turns out, is reasonably serious. But yeah, I thought Dan Rioli was a bit off his normal self after he copped that, I think it was an ankle injury in the, I think it was the end of the first quarter, start of the second. But yeah, he wasn't quite himself. So yeah, it was a tough set of circumstances, and we weren't going to win anyway. But it was much fun.
So let me tell you about, and I should again preface this by saying that, as regular listeners will know on this podcast, I'm not the biggest fan of Damon Hardwick anyway. You know, I respect him. I think he's a very good man. I think he was a good coach for many years for the club, but I've been out since essentially the North Melbourne loss. Let me tell you a story, Nick. And let me, again, another qualifier, getting doing a lot of these. Gambling is bad. It's addictive. I would never recommend it. Both of us are very interested in probability and would never recommend non-skill gambling. But as a lot of people who have a moderate talent in statistics have tried, when I was a young man, I once card counted at casinos. And it's sort of, you turn up there, so 1920, learnt the probability of blackjack, which is the basic probability is pretty easy, and then the card counting probability, basic card counting is not that hard. Very tedious, I wouldn't recommend it, even though you can potentially make more than, you can make a positive return. It's a terrible way to spend your life. You notice then, you go there sober, and you go there when the casino was crowded, so you stood out less, and, you know, there'd be the guys there with the flashy suits, and they're betting lots of money. And, you know, they might go on a winning run, and you'd see people around them. They had a lot of, sort of respect and manner. And, you know, you'd see younger people around them sort of looking up them or even copying their betting, particularly when they went on a winning run. And you'd look at what they're doing and you think you'd sort of be impressed by them. And then you'd look at some of their betting patterns and they do things, you know, like sit on 13 when the dealer's showing a face card, which you should almost never do unless there's some really weird thing going with the card count. And you'd think, well, that's really weird. Maybe they know something I don't. And then you'd sit there a bit longer and you'd realize what the card count was, and you'd realize that they're just not very good at their job and that they shouldn't be betting. That is how I feel every time David Hardwick picks Stephen Morris for the team.
I know. It took a while to get there. I do. You should get there. Look,
it was better than ranting. That's the way I got through it.
Look, there have been times where I've, you know, thought that some form of therapy might be necessary every time Stephen Morris goes near a senior game. And thankfully, for your sanity and domestic well-being, it was only a 1 week return to the side. I mean, I do think it was a situation where we were, you know, to for a poker analogy, we had the option of a two or a three in choosing between Todd Elton and Steve Morris. But
I disagree. I mean, The thing was, we decided to change 100 years of AFL common knowledge to, sorry, conventional wisdom to play without a centre, to play, Jason Castagna at centre half forward. We didn't play a centre half forward. I mean, often teams do play their worst player at centre half forward second ruck because you often do have a spud in that position, but you do it because it's structurally valuable. I would argue it's even more structurally valuable for us because we don't have good backup rucks and we don't have a good backup key forward.
Yeah.
And so we're putting more load on Jack and Nang.
I thought Todd Elton looked bad on the replay the week before.
I would rather have, you could have named four guys in the VFL that are more useful than Steve Morris, because Steve Morris is adding to the position that we already had too many of in the team. We were playing Bashir Hooley late in the game because we didn't know what to do with all our small backs, and we already had, one of them was fighting through injury because he's actually structurally useful, will conquer and distributes, whereas Steve Morris didn't seem to have any role. Like, even the fan speculation that he was playing on Eddie Betts, he barely played on him. And Steve Morris, by the way, gets torched every time he plays on any moderate forward. All right, moving on. But the worst, actually, the not playing a centre forward really grated. And give Joel a go. Like, watching little players get beaten up as the ball gets kicked down the line repeatedly, that was so frustrating. Anyway.
Look, the biggest thing that I didn't like the most, actually, was, yeah, Adelaide do have really good tall defenders, and playing Vossi is a really good one-on-one mark for his size. But yeah, he was badly outmatched. I think Caddy's better in that role, but he was badly outmatched up forward. That was the part of it I really didn't like. I mean, there was also a part of it when Dustin Martin outbodied 195 centimetre, 100 kilo key defender from Adelaide, and we sort of take it for granted because that's how much of a freak he is. But it didn't work. I'm more sympathetic to the decision because I thought Elton's game was pretty horrible the week before, and he spent big chunks of the second half of that game off the ground. And I think something that there was whispers that Ryan Garthwaite was considered for selection this week, and I did think that is an option, that if you picked him, you can think about trying Dave Asprey at centre half forward again. And again, it's, you know, there are no perfect solutions here, but I did hear whispers that that idea was being kicked around.
I have a fundamental problem that we went into a selection committee and we decided that it would be a good idea to have Sean Greig be centre square rucking against Sam Jacobs more than once.
Yeah. Yeah.
That bit was a very unconventional strategy. You know, a younger coach maybe would go, well, that was a bit stupid, but, you know, at least he had a crack. Mm. But the context of who they bought in,
it
was just infuriating.
It is heading like Adelaide were playing Andrew Otten, who's not big enough to play key position. Like, he's a third back or third forward as their backup ruckman, and they had nobody other than Jacobs get a tap out the week before. So it is the direction the AFL is heading in not playing.
Andrew Altman is still better than Sean. Like, he's still better than Sean
Greig. But yeah. Well, anyway, that was a.
Who played well? Actually, I have one player I want to play tribute to.
Well, I wanted to start with a slightly unconventional choice, but I enjoyed. Oh no, I really enjoyed Trent Godchen. I enjoyed Markov's work, actually.
Some people thought he should get dropped, but yeah, he was all right, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And actually, having been desperately Hooley, having desperately been played out of position after quite a good game, playing in his natural position the week before, didn't completely suck across the forward line. Got a touch or two, which was, you know, good for him. Just go circling back to Trent Cotchin. I was being sarcastic when I mentioned him because we never mentioned the best player until later.
No.
But he was brave and,
yeah. He relentlessly kept trying. I thought there were, there were guys whose skills held up under the pressure, and there were ones that didn't, and I think we should both pay tribute to the ones who did, and name some names of the ones who didn't.
Well, the counter to Trent Cotchin's game being respectable was he was getting absolutely no support from Dion Prestia, who both got very little of it and didn't use it well when he got it.
No, and then he's not right physically, because he's averaging sort of 5-year career lows from him. Like, he's a better player than this, and he's out this week with a hamstring injury. But yeah, it's clearly not right.
It's listed as a hamstring. There's a lot of conspiracy theories on the internet, but we don't know any better.
Oh, look, I think people overthink these things. Like, he's playing or he's not.
But we all know he's not training. His knee has been managed, so maybe
it's
not related. But
it possibly is. He does. I do like that he runs both ways. Like, you can see the outline of the player he can be when he's playing well, as he did in round one. But yeah, he's not at that level at the moment. I thought Josh Caddy, actually, of the on-ballers, I thought he had some periods. I enjoyed his work, particularly. He was part of the reason we were up and about in the first quarter. As I mentioned, I hated Vlossy in that role as the marking forward up against either Lever or Talia. I thought that was not something I enjoyed at all. I thought Lambert's skills were okay, but sort of semi-marginal. He was trying hard, and even more in that category, I thought, because the skill level is Castagna's big question, and yeah, it was more question than answer this week.
Yeah, indeed. I liked the fact that McIntosh kept running late, but I think I'm pretty much on Team McIntosh. I crap on about him every week, so I don't think anyone would be surprised by that. But it just felt like he was up. Like, had the game been close, he was up for the fight. He'd have gone out of the game, but his athleticism continues to shine in good company. Lambert had plenty of it. As you mentioned, his disposal was vaguely okay, but I don't really think there's anything.
I thought Jaden Short's disposal held up for most of the game, which I was pleased by, because I just think the team long term having a back pocket half flanker who can accurately hit targets over. Who can run 15 and hit a target over 50 is incredibly valuable. And he's had moments where he looks like that guy.
What he does is he breaks lines and he often dumps it really long. He's exactly the kind of player he needs to play with Sinan Ford. Dan Butler had a terrible moment late in the game. He's almost been immaculate in those situations up till now, so I'm glad he had his bad moments in a meaningless time.
I know. He still looked frisky at moments. I did realise when Rioli had that knock, and I thought he wasn't quite the same afterwards, and it did cause me palpable distress. We've raved about him extensively before, but to have him be sort of 80% of himself, it really upset me.
I'm going to put a controversial hot take. Better if it happened a bit later, but Nank's suspension is not the end of the world.
Well, you did mention last week that you thought there would be value in him having a week off. Like, he was clearly frustrated because he had a couple of incidences, or at least one incident before the incident that got him suspended, that was sort of pushing the line. But yeah. And he does need to get better at manning up his opponent. I mean, we are We are all 100% Team Nank. But, yeah. Actually, it is.
It does upset me a bit that the way everyone's talking about headouts don't matter on the internet forums. It hurts my feelings, but I just take your point.
I mean, if people are saying headouts don't matter, headouts to advantage matter, I think that's, you know, that's something you can argue, and that's something that Nank's much better at. But yeah, I'm going to be genuinely fascinated. Ivan Solbo versus Tom Boyd, as we've mentioned before, that's not a ruck matchup people would have been expecting at the start of the season.
No, it's a classic Moneyball thing. If you lose at 60-40, you think you're massively in front because of the relative investment.
Mm.
But of course, that can even out over a whole team.
Mm.
There's nothing else about the game. Deeply disappointing. Mm. As we discussed before the game, I didn't think we were going to win particularly. We actually went into the game, the last odds I checked, we were 38-point underdogs. Mm. So the kicking wasn't a surprise, but the way it happened and the extent of it was
disappointing. The third quarter was tough to watch. The second quarter wasn't much fun either. And sort of
we should say pay credit to Reece Conker for playing out the game with a fairly serious injury. And, you know, as we were talking about this off air, and I was sort of complaining that normally that injury seems to go for much longer, and that they've got a very short recovery time. And
three to 6 weeks, yeah.
And you made the point, it's an injury that can have different level, different extents to it.
And, yeah, and it can vary according to the size of the fracture. But the big, I mean, we're both basketball fans as well, and Ben Simmons ended up missing the whole season due to a foot fracture that didn't heal as well as expected or as quickly as expected. So you just don't know sometimes.
And a friend of the podcast pointed out that Richo has said it's the worst injury he ever had.
Richo had a knee reconstruction and missed nearly 12 months of football. So I would have put that forward as a suitable candidate.
People who have knee recos often, it's not the worst injury knee recos.
And it's true actually that people do these days, the rate of recovery from, you know, Steve Morris was moving freely. If you know, he seemed unaffected by his quality of play was as we remembered it.
Well said. So yeah, it's I'm not actually surprised by it, but I'll just be slightly disappointed in if that's not the truth about what he's prognosis is. I think that's a bit disappointment of attitude, but who knows. Moving on.
Hmm. Well, the VFL also lost their first game for the season, and these things often tend to be related, because as you lose a few players with injury at the senior level, it takes away from the team at reserve level. But yeah,
in fairness, it didn't hurt coincidentally that they lost Townsend, who's been a gun for our team.
Hmm. No, he's been playing really well. The two guys, probably two best players, Sammy Lloyd, who's playing really well, but you know, I think for team structure reasons isn't getting a game at the moment.
Yes, team structure reasons.
Well, anyway. Castagna's keeping him out of the team, I think. So that's the
our need to have 12 halfback flanks on the team. Anyway,
you can only play guys who can only play in as a small forward. But Butler and Rioli aren't quite up to taking longer turns in midfield. And actually, speaking of, we've mentioned Rioli extensively in this podcast and every other one, but looking at the Bulldogs, Luke Dalhouse. Everyone compares Dan Rioli to Cyril Rioli. But Luke Dalhouse has gone from being a forward pocket pressure specialist to, I think he's in about his fifth season, and he's averaging 28 disposals a game. Like, that's a interesting example.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
Anthony Miles, also one of our better players and the obvious replacement for Prestia in the senior team. Corey Ellis has strung together a couple of really good games as well. So he's come in for Reece Conker. I think he's been playing off half-back, rotating on the ball. So I think we'll see him in that role for the seniors. Sort of, I don't know, was there anyone else who really stood out from the rest of them for you?
Well, I mean, Elton got recalled after not playing, so if that was ever acknowledgement, maybe they would do things differently given a time around, it would be. I just want to make the point on Ivy Jr. that because he was playing forward to get a new skill set, so his stats sucked, but actually it makes perfect sense to do that. For his long-term development, because I didn't know Knack was going to get injured, obviously. Oh, sorry, get suspended. If it makes perfect sense that you're trying to teach Soldo to play second ruck, key forwards. So it actually made sense to do that.
Yeah, I mean, from the VFL, look, I mentioned him already, but yeah, Ryan Garthwaite had another good game. And yeah, as I said, there are words that he's in discussion at the selection table, which is pretty unusual for an 18-year-old key position player.
Okay, but if he was a key forward, he'd be in the team already. Yeah. Seriously, would be.
No. Well, yeah, with his form. Look, before we get to the Western Bulldogs, the football media is relentless in its coverage of pretty much everything these days, and after the Adelaide game, I downloaded the Road to the Draft podcast that had an interview with Luke Power, and about halfway through, he has some very nice things to say about Patrick Nash.
Including?
Well, he was saying that he started to develop his body, so he's always been a quick outside player and a good kick, if slightly inconsistent, but he's starting to build himself up and able to take on and break a few more tackles that he was encouraged to see. And yeah, he said he really liked him as a kid as well. So yeah, worth a listen if you've got a moment.
So I was lucky enough to be in a function with several AFL recruiters the other week, and I spoke to at least three. You know, warm them up about Patrick Nash and got their views, and then, where would they, if they were to bid for him, where would they go? And obviously it's early days before the champs, but it was pretty consistent. Everyone had him between about 30 and 50. The sort of, actually you pretty much summarized it, lovely kick, bit outside, doesn't win that much of his own ball, and, as is often the case with players like that, they said, can be slightly inconsistent. As you pointed out as well, the interesting thing though that I hadn't heard before is that one recruiter really likes his younger brother.
So he's got younger brother, Xavier, which is a name that Andy's extremely fond of because it's also his middle name. But he's playing for the Northern Knights under 16s, and yeah, it's already flashed up in their best players already. So yeah, good to see.
So he's a natural ball winner, more of an inside player. His issue is his body undeveloped. God, I'm talking about 15-year-olds like this.
I know.
But the thing is, apparently Patrick was the same way at the same age, and you know, filled out nicely. So that's that gossip. The other nice little tidbit I heard about Blake Carosella. Maybe prior to last week, I was worried that if we had a good season, that Blake would be poached by another club. But apparently, he's more someone who operates. He doesn't necessarily like the limelight, but people can change, of course, over the time. But that was just a nice observation, and lots of positive things about him. But so that was a nice positive note in a bad week.
Interesting one. And you can see the attraction for him, that if he's getting near senior coach money on and the security of a 3-year contract, you can see why he wouldn't be leaping into other jobs lightly.
Yeah, but you know, there are men, they're highly competitive.
Yeah, that's true. And there will be some, looks likely there'll be some pretty high profile jobs coming up at the end of the year.
Including our own, potentially. Moving on, Western Bulldogs.
I think if our job comes open, I think Carlos Sella steps into it. That's my expectation. But yeah, I think we could get a bigger shake up with Collingwood, the Suns, and the Hawks all at the end of the year. But yeah, story for another time. So the Bulldogs are good, and we're going in reasonably sizable underdogs again. Yeah. But, they're not as good as the Crows. And
yeah, we're not as big to underdogs. Playing in Melbourne.
No, playing in Melbourne. The Bulldogs' statistics are not overwhelming. They're a good team. They can have periods where they're pretty inconsistent in front of goal. And you know, when you're relying on Jeremy Stringer as your leading goal kicker, he does, you know, he's an extremely talented player, but he does have his moments of inconsistency. Bontempelli is the one that, I have to admit, really frightens me in this game, but they've got some pretty good ball winners as well. We mentioned Dalhouse, Tom Liberatore is a very good clearance player, Caleb Daniels, Nuggety Little, Warrior. Some good players down back as well, with Easton Wood and Matthew Boyd coming back. So, yeah, they've got talent. There's no doubt about that. Hardly a revelation to say about the reigning premiers.
For what it's worth, it's just out of teams named. The starting midfield for them is Boyd, discussed, Bontempelli, Liberatore, and Dalhouse. Our starting on ball grade is Elton, Cochin, Miles, and Caddy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, obviously there's one rock star in that, but yeah, it's not overwhelming.
I know. I miss the days when you used to be able to take how the team was named to line up seriously.
Well, I mean, it used to be a big honour, being named in the midfield anyway.
And then last year we picked Sean Edwards at centre half forward for 6 weeks in a row.
Well, in fairness, he did often line up in roughly that position. It wasn't outrageous. Be nice for Shedder to come back, by the way. That is something our team could use.
I know. Yeah, he's probably 2 weeks away, but yeah. As always, I miss him when he's out.
And it's been one of those, the numbers have moved a few times, which is...
Well, it started off at 3-6, and it's been, unfortunately, it hasn't come in on the low side, but...
It's yo-yo, it shrunk prematurely. Again, it's like the Adelaide game. I actually have a pet theory, by the way. We might not suck at Docklands as much as we have in the past because we're faster and fitter. Dry, hard, fast footy might not be, and as you pointed out, we're young.
Very young. Yeah, in the wasteland that was the second half of last year, our game against the Western Bulldogs was by far the most watchable.
And you know, in football, the best team doesn't always win. So, let's hope we keep well for goal.
Yeah, look, I think given the week we've had, if a strong, respectable effort, I think would be soothing for us all.
Yeah, and in the nightmare that is the next few weeks, actually, the next 2 weeks block isn't too bad because we've got the Bulldogs, but then we've got a very winnable but interesting game, Fremantle at the G.
Mm.
So so Nank will be back. The week after we got the GWS, so
that must pretty much riding that one off.
Yeah, and it's away too. So we'll most likely be 6-3, and then we'll be turning the corner for the huge coming into the Dreamtime game 6-3. So that's quite an interesting That'll make the...
Yeah, that'll be a big game. You'd think, right now, you'd think we'd start favourites.
Yeah, you would. What we need to do is be competitive. To really make that an occasion is we need to look viable because, like, we've just been humiliated and it's not just that we lost, it was the way. Fans just want to feel relevant.
It wasn't much fun, yeah.
And, you know, if we can believe that we're, you know, second, we're building second to
half,
something.
Yeah, second half, the top eight material. And, yeah, getting, and, you know, with a young side, seeing if a guy like Corey Ellis can step up on half-back, seeing if we've got more ruck depth in Ivan Soldo. Yeah, there's a lot to get out of this week.
I'm Andy.
I'm Nick.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.